Welcome to the FPL USA Press Play Podcast. You've got Bucks here in Brooklyn and Brian on the best coast out in California. Brian, happy Sunday, man. How we doing?
What's good? I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Happy to be back on the mic. It was the first real normal game week in a long time coming off international break. Normally, this game week tends to be a little wacky, and so we did see some variance in the scores and some strange performances and some scoreboard watching. There were a lot of really exciting matches, but they were unpredictable for the most part. That being said, one thing that was predictable and you were pretty much able to set your watch to was the three captains, the three most in-demand captains, Palmer, Son, and Salah. All of them delivered, all of them delighted managers to varying degrees, and we will talk about that later on in this podcast episode. But it is a short turnaround. So coming out of the international break, we've now done and dusted game week 30, and we have less than 72 hours to prepare for game week 31, which will kick off on Tuesday afternoon here in the States. So without any further ado, Brian, let's rewind the tape really quick. And let's zoom in for a recap of Game Week 30 before we blast forward into the future to talk most of this episode about Game Week 31.
Yeah, this was a really fun game week, especially having all the teams play. No more of this blank 29 nonsense, 15-point free hit bullshit. It was good to have all the teams playing, and a lot of stakes were up in the air. So it's great to see some interesting results across the Premier League table. And you know it's going to be a good weekend when you start with a 4-3 comeback thriller at St. James Park where Newcastle defeats West Ham. And that set the table for the rest of the game weekend. It was a fun one.
Yeah, a lot of goals, a lot of scores in approaching 70, if not 80, depending on if you got the alchemy right this game week. And I think we're starting to see a lot of the managers who have been disciplined with chips start to go to the counter and cash them in. So there are a lot of teams with successful second wild cards in game week 30. I know that was neither of the three hosts. So without further ado, let's talk about our missing partner in crime, the sexiest disco wolf in all of California. That is our friend Dan. We're still sending him vibes. He expects to be back on a podcast in early April. So sending good wishes to you and blessings for a full and speedy recovery so you can return to the banter and the bullshit of this podcast. He smashed it. He's continuing to smash it. 68 points, green arrow. He's now touching the top 5K overall. And what really did it for Dan, Sun cap. So he got that right. He had Palmer in his team and then big differential of Jared Bowen, who gets a double digit haul with 10 points. Guy can't get anything wrong this season, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel good for Dan. He's going through his own health concerns at the moment. So it's good to have the mental aspect of flying into the top 5K at this point in the season. He's still got wild card and bench boost left. He's going to be in for a great finish. So we're excited to see him hopefully in the top 1,000. I mean, that's got to be the goal at this point with those chips left. So well done. And Bowen is the guy that he has shouted to us numerous times in the chat. He's just held the faith with Bowen for so long, and he's been a major differential for him. So 68 points, another green arrow. Well done, Dan.
Yeah, bravo. We think he's going to have his best season ever when it comes to final OR. So we just want him to get back to his best feeling self. That's most important.
Right.
Health is wealth.
I feel like we've been giving him some solid advice and keeping him off of the tilt machine that can sometimes enter your FPL season. So he's doing great. And yeah, we'll have him on the pod again very soon. But let's transition to our very, very mediocre scores. You and I have very different teams, but we end up on the same amount of points this week. So why don't you go through your team first?
Yeah, I wish we were giving the same level of great advice to Dan that we were giving and taking for ourselves, because both of us end up on red arrows, 54 points all out. We both took -4 hits, so 58, but 54 is the number you need to know. I drop on a red arrow from 22,000 overall to 30,000 overall. I brought in Salah and Darwin, and I was initially tinkering with bringing in Salah, Muniz, and Son for a -8. Brian, you taught some discipline to me and talked me out of the minus eight move, which I felt good about actually until Sun scored that goal and got the three bonus. And then I was like, oh, what have I done? That move just made so much sense. And then to twist the knife and throw salt all in the wound, Muniz gets his goal. So man's just absolutely on fire. All in all, I'm pretty well set up. I think I might be a transfer ahead of those without the wild card chip. So that gives me at least a little bit of comfort. And, you know, falling 10 points back of the pack is not a disaster at this point in the season for my team. So all in all, I think I'm relatively well set up for 31. And game week 30, just like 29, was just a bump, an inconvenience in the FPL road, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you have no chips left. So I that was part of me talking you off of the minus eight, because I do foresee you taking hits in the future. And so Sun scores that late goal, but at the same time, he had a shot where it hit both of the posts. So, you know, I think he was destined for points in that.
I got
one.
Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very close to even larger haul. So Sun captainers come away with 20 points there, but you also own Palmer. And he is somebody that you were late to the game on, but he continues to dominate. And he is a player that was missing in action from my team. I decided to go and prioritize Salah, transferred in with Muniz for Watkins and Foden this week. Net was very positive on those transfers, especially given that Muniz had just a wonderful, beautiful kick. He's just in incredible form for Fulham. And that was another 3-3 thriller in this game week. So ultimately for me, I'm just kind of locked into this Odegaard, Saka, Gabriel trio, and the defenders have outscored him the last couple weeks. So Odegaard, that is. So hopefully he'll bang it up and they will score a lot of goals next week as they face Luton. Yeah, that's going to be goal fest for sure for Arsenal. And that was only kind of disappointing end to the game week. After all these fun, entertaining matches, the City and Arsenal draw 0-0. Not a lot of football being played there. Very physical, lots of tackles, lots of balls being pinged around the middle of the pitch, but not a lot of class in the final third. But Arsenal's defense, City's defense, they're going to be really tight for the run-in. And now we have Liverpool at the top of the table.
Yeah, with that, 47 points was the game week average. And we touched on the snooze fest. We showed up for a marquee popcorn-filled match at the top of the table between Arsenal traveling to Etihad to face Manchester City. We got a pretty boring rugby match, all things considered. I don't really think there were too many great chances in this game. And yeah, if you just didn't watch and you enjoyed your Sunday and you didn't miss out on anything, pretty much that was the story of the game. Saka goes off limping, that he could be a concern for game week 31, as he also left international break nursing a potential knock. And, you know, I think Foden goes off 62nd minute. That's also probably protecting him, so he's fit for the midweek fixtures and the fixture pileup that Manchester City are looking ahead at. And yeah, I just think it's a very, very, very interesting time in the season, because we have the run-in, lots of chips, and the fixtures are coming fast and furious. Plus, there's now three game ways. So the challenge had its first game week. Pretty lukewarm feeling on that. I think you want to give 10 seconds on the challenge experience, Brian?
I mean, I enjoyed it. It's always fun to take 1 week punts on the top players each week. So it's a very different format, but the beta version, there are the loopholes that everyone exploited in the kind of hardcore FPL community. I was definitely one of those players. I had Isak and Gordon come off of my bench and ended up with Sun as my captain there. So I had 72 points, which is pretty solid. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting as the challenges diversify. And next week we have forwards get double points. So you captain a forward, you are going to get at least quadruple. That'll be a good time. So, you know, it's something else to do. I also play draft, as do you. So we're all in on FPL. So it's just fun to check another section of the app and set up a little mini league, especially, I think, again, for those people like myself who are having terrible seasons, it's another fun way to engage with the game. And that's what really the Premier League wants.
It's all about having fun and enjoying this devoted hobby of ours. I think with that, let's talk and zoom in a little bit closer to the replay of game week 30. Top scorer of this game week was one Ben Bernington Diaz from Chef United. I definitely did not have that anywhere close to my bingo card. Congratulations if you're his cousin, mother, or dog walker and you had the captain's armband on him. Holy cow, what a game that was from Chef U and Fulham. I know I was full on Fulham defense in my challenge league. I think I had three of their defenders. They got a combined 3 points because they conceded three goals to one of the worst teams in Premier League history. So that was a shocker to say the least.
Yeah, this guy scores 18 points. He's got 4 goals and 1 assist since coming over to Sheffield United. And they were up 3-1 in that match. And the Blades were thinking they were finally going to escape with 3 points. But alas, they do what they do. They chef you around. And Fulham comes back for a very majestical 3-3 tie. And I think for all these teams that aren't competing, I love the goal-scoring mentality. Just go out there, go for it. There's no reason to be at the beach quite yet. Cabo might be calling, you know, Bahamas, someplace in Italy.
Ibiza, yeah, Ibiza, it sounds great.
Yeah, for sure. But right now, these teams are still attacking, and that's what you love to see, especially from the mid-table teams. It's just fun to have goal rush on here in the United States and see all these goals be banging in. So,
speaking of goals banging in, let's transition to the opening match, which had a 7-goal thriller. You teased this in the opener. Newcastle come back from 3-1 down to win 4-3. Alexander the Great, Isak, was the hero today for Newcastle. He gets 2 goals, an assist, and 3 bonus points, tied for second highest point scorer in game week 30 with 15 points. And Anthony Gordon is like, his play style is exactly what it's like to own him as an FPL manager, because it's so hot and cold. It's like you're shouting at the TV, like, score the goal. Yeah, 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 amazing. And then you're like, what the fuck are you doing? And your head is just deep in your hands. You're trying to wipe the disgust out of your eyeballs and out of your brain through your head like that. Because he gets 3 assists, but he takes such a silly second yellow card.
Idiot.
You end up on
absolutely
a red card.
Idiotic.
He's suspended. I mean, what a doof.
This match was just insane because the 2 penalties that he drew were out of nothing. It was just the West Ham defenders losing their minds and making very peculiar tackles, just frenzied. And yeah, he draws 2 and Isak slots him home. So Isak, especially for those who are on wild card and building for game week 37 and looking at the long lens, he was a big feature in a lot of those teams. And if you went with him, you're instantly rewarded. He didn't really do that much else in the match. But again, he's such a classy player. The assist that he set up for Barnes was Kane-esque, really. It was a beautiful weighted pass from just over the halfway line, and it gets Barnes sprung for more points. So Barnes is actually comes away with a brace as well. He's somebody that I'm looking at for the upcoming FPL challenge, because he's going to be playing 90 minutes next week when Gordon is out. And I also think Gordon is on like 8 yellow cards, something like that. So he's somebody to hopefully not get into the double digits and be suspended for multiple games, but he will miss next week.
Yeah, Barnes 12-pointer, 2 goals and a bonus point off the bench. He had 2 really important goals. They were the leveler and then the go-ahead. And we should just bring the hammers into the conversation, maybe as a way to get our friend FPL Fella engaged in this podcast a little bit more and to stop crying into his his kit. Kudus had 12 points, a goal, assist, and 2 bonus points. Really classy goal.
Looked
taken
amazing.
Off a, yeah, he
Looked
was incredible.
Amazing.
That quick restart where Bowen kind of overhits it and Kudus is just there to pounce. And what a beautiful taken first time shot into the far corner of the net. I think that was unsavable. And then the guy who spells his name incorrectly, Jarrod Bowen, continues to do it for our buddy Black Wolf. 10 points, a goal, an assist. And he's not even playing out of position anymore. I think this is really interesting, the way that West Ham are continuing to score goals with kind of a makeshift front five. And what's most important is Paqueta is fit. If he's fit, they're scoring goals. If he's not,
absolutely,
they're just getting blown out of the building. So we'll see if they're able to retain him in the summer. I think he's the most important player on that team.
Yeah, and in this one, we also see Antonio. He scores in back-to-back Premier League matches for the first time this season and just gives them a different dimension. He can be physical up front, do some hold-up play, and that's not necessarily Bowen's priority when he plays in that nine position. So they look good for goals. Their defense looks terrible, and the same goes for Newcastle. So if you are playing either of those teams, you're expecting at least two goals to be conceded. So I love those because these are also teams that have good attack. So it should be a wide open game for the rest of the season. And with their positioning in the table, they're both going to just be going for every match and try and get 3 points. I think those are two teams that we expect very fluid attacking matchups on both sides of the pitch.
Yeah, we should just mention Jamal Lascelles goes off with a season-ending injury. It looked really bad. It's been
Brutal, brutal.
confirmed. It's a MCL, so he's going to get surgery just like the guy who replaced Sven Botman, who's also going to miss time. And Areola, who's been one of the surprises of the season, an ultra-budget keeper who's now the number one, he goes off injured as well at halftime. So Fabianski comes back and as we've said many times on this podcast before, Fabianski stinks. So if he's in goal, it's going to get even more dire for West Ham fans and the West Ham defense.
I mean,
So those are two notables.
Flappy Hands used to be all right, but I mean, he's like 38 years old. He's getting up there for sure. So it looks like Areola is going to probably be out for a couple matches. So we expect them to concede time and time again. Elsewhere, let's talk about the Chelsea Blues.
Ah,
Very
don't make
disappointing.
me. Don't
Very
make me. It was
disappointing.
bad, 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 bad. Other than
Although
Cole Palmer, he's been the bright spot of the season, except he doesn't really play defense, which is something that will have to be addressed, I think, in the offseason, because he's making comments saying the rest of the team isn't showing the mentality. Well, bro, you're Panenka-ing and trying to embarrass the entire Burnley team who's down to 10 men when you're winning the game. Just fucking win the game and get the 3 points. It's driving me crazy. And, 15 points in the FPL game is great, but you know what's better? Going to European competitions, going to the Champions League. And that's what this team is lacking. They lack character, they lack backbone, and consistently they are just dropping points in very concerning manners. I mean, this to draw with Burnley, who's bottom of the table, down to 10 men in the second half, unacceptable, totally unacceptable performance.
not to mention the popular goalkeeper in Petrovic, he made a mistake that led to one of those goals, didn't have a really good performance. Gusto, very popular in wildcard as well. I think he picked up a little knock to his hamstring. I'm not sure what the update is there. Do you know?
Yeah, they're saying it's either a slight hamstring injury or it's muscle cramps. Let's hope it's the latter for his sake. He's been such a bright spot for Chelsea this season, and he's only 20 years old.
Chelsea's
The medical
fucking
team
right
is a
backs. They're
disaster. Ugh.
fucking right backs and hamstrings. I can't take it. I can't take it, Bucks, between this potential injury and Reece James. Ugh.
It's like us weekend warriors that, me and you play basketball very regularly. I'm not in great shape, but I've managed to avoid serious injury now for a couple years in a row, whereas Chelsea are going record year on record year on record year for professional fit athletes who all they do is play football and train. And they have full teams of physios, full training pitch, full workouts. It's a disaster. It's actually like shades of incompetence of what's going on in Chelsea. 47 injuries this season is the official tally for the Chelsea Blues.
All right, next up, we'll just highlight Villa. They get the job done 2-0 versus Wolves, despite Watkins going off at halftime. That is another hamstring injury, it appears, and he is an immediate transfer out of your team, especially with no doubles coming up. So we do have a few hashtag FBL community questions later on in the mailbag section where we'll talk about his replacements. But Konsa, if you had him maybe from your game week 29 team, 15 points. He gets a very cheeky goal to seal the win there. Man, I mean, my defense, other than Gabriel, the goalie's shit. The other defenders are shit. I'm usually getting like 6 points total between four defenders each week, it seems. So if you had Konsa, well done for their owners.
Yeah, and we should also highlight Emi Martinez also gets double-digit points, 10 points, clean sheet, save point, and 3 bonus. He's a shithousery all-star, but right now he is the only thing between Villa's defense and conceding tons of chances and goals like West Ham. He was elite in this game, actually. I think this was one of his better performances. He locks up the clean sheet for Konsa, who gets a huge 15-pointer. Yeah, all around good result for Villa, and they're staying tight with the top four race, and that's all they can do at this point in the season. Transitioning to a team inside the top four, your guy, Youngman Sung, does the business for Spurs. What'd you see in that match?
Typical Spurs to let themselves go down a goal as per usual. They do not keep many cleans, but the rest of the second half was just a very good performance by the Spurs. They could have had another couple goals easily in that one as well, and were very confident in their attack. So a lot of managers are thinking about upgrading Son to Salah next week because of the fixture, but if you can do anything to have Son and Salah in your team, I would definitely go down that route. And that's kind of what I've done. I've downgraded Watkins all the way to Muniz and kind of upgraded elsewhere. So Son still looks like a fantastic pitch. We do see Richarlison come in the last 10 minutes. So he's clearly not 100% fit. And so I think there's no reason that Son will not continue to start as the nine. And that's what you want for FPL. So they have, I believe, West Ham next week and London little derby right there. We should expect maybe a 3-2. That would be fun, right?
Yeah, more goals for Son definitely on the horizon. He ends up with 10 points. As we mentioned, he had a goal, 3 bonus points for the winner, but he was inches away from having a brace, and that would have been a huge score, especially for the captainers. Let's close out with the Sunday early match. We already touched on the marquee match between Arsenal and City, which was boring as all hell, but the Liverpool-Brighton match, similar to Spurs-Luton, started out with a bang, and it was from the unexpected visitors. Brighton score within the first 5 minutes on a very low XG chance that Welbeck just crushes into the back of the net. And then I think, safe to say, it was kind of all Liverpool for the next 80-ish minutes as they went on to get the W. Salah gets 7 shots in the first half, including what I thought was an FPL assist, but I was super biased because I had the captain's armband on him, of course.
I know, I was hoping, I'm just refreshing Twitter to see if they're going to give it to him, but they did not. I mean, he kind of headed it towards the direction of the goal, but he was not, his like back was to goal, and then a defender also touched it before Diaz slots it home to net the game at 1-1. So, man, I'm just disappointed, to be honest. Having that captaincy today and having him just be a bit wasteful, he was just very eager and very like giddy. You know, I think it's, again, coming back from his injury, he's still looking to regain his form, but then has a few classy moments where he was just a couple toenails away from getting another assist in that match that would probably put him to 2 bonus points as well. So yeah, he's a no-brainer if you can bring him in for this upcoming week. I know a lot of managers rolled their transfer this week so that they could make 3 moves next week to accommodate bringing Salah into your side. And you have to do that because they're still going to be scoring lots of goals. And it's just kind of interesting to see Darwin, I guess, in this one, not do much. He was very peripheral in this match. Part of that probably is because Son took the most shots he's ever taken in a Premier League game, whereas he's usually a little bit more of a facilitator, Salah, that is. And so he didn't really do too much in this game, but he's still going to be super popular again with a double game week coming up in 34 as well.
Yeah, I rate that. I'm on Darwin and Salah. Darwin had one really good chance. It was from the floor. He kind of thrashed at it. And lucky for Brighton, Verbruggen seemed to be really on his game this match. Where he was in the exact right spot to stop Salah. And Luis Diaz was unlucky a couple times, but we should just highlight Luis Diaz, another man of the match performance for him. He ends up on 10 points for the FPL game, a goal and 3 bonus. He was actually the best attacking player on the pitch for Liverpool, not Mo Salah, despite the stats, which reflect 12 shots from the right winger. So
12 yeah, shots.
Absurd.
One for 12. That's not a very good conversion rate. We were hoping for 2 for 12. Then I could have given him a pass and been much more happy as a captainer.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? All right, I think let's final up. Let's leave game week 30 in the dust. Congratulations if you landed a healthy green arrow, if your wild card came off good, and you do not have too many flagged players going into midweek game week 31. With that, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll dive into the action on Tuesday in game week 31.
Let's fast forward and look ahead to game week 31. We have fixtures on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and hopefully we will not have very much rotation because our benches are getting thinner and thinner as we try to put all the funds into attack with all the heavy hitters. So, Bucks, where do you want to start here? What matches do you like for FPL hauls?
Well, I want to just quickly say that I thought you were giving me a compliment that I'm getting thinner and thinner, but I get it. The FPL benches are also getting pretty thin, and so are these rosters with all these random injuries popping up. We really hammered the Hammers, so let's start with them. Spurs go to West Ham for a London Derby. Yeah, I think the Spurs are going to hammer the Hammers next. I think 4-2 to the visitors.
Wow, that's a lot of goals. I see this as a closer game, either 2-1 or 3-2, but there should be goals and you should start all of your players with confidence. The Tottenham defense, though, looks a little bit janky. I think without Van de Ven, who they are clearly just monitoring and not forcing him into action, he's a big miss for that team. When he's alongside Romero, they're much more tight. The Dragon, the new guy coming in the January window, is still getting up to speed in the Premier League. And yeah, I think you just play your attackers and hopefully we'll see James Maddison play more minutes in this next fixture. But the guys on the wings, I'm always impressed with Brennan Johnson. He seems to be a player that was a great buy for them and somebody who continues to just get points, whether he comes off the bench or not. Not really an FPL option right now, but I think for the team functioning, he's great. And Timo Werner didn't come into the goals in this one, but was very threatening. And his open runs into the channel and his pace is something that for £15 million was a good signing, I think. I think he's going to be a big factor in the run-in as they look for a top four spot.
Great shout. Let's go next to another Arsenal home match. That's Luton. They're probably going to stick around London, if I had to guess. They play the Gunners next at the Etihad. They actually held their own against Spurs away.
The Etihad? No, wrong venue. Different venue.
The Emirates, excuse me.
There we go.
It's Luton at the Emirates to face the Gunners. And I was impressed by Luton Town. They held their own against Spurs. They looked pretty threatening, and they continue to score goals. Now, this will be the ultimate test against Arsenal, the best team, one of the best teams in the league, the clear best defense in the league, playing in front of their home crowd. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really hard one. 3-0 Arsenal. But I'm tempted to say 3-1, but I think the home team gets it done.
Yeah, I see this one as 3-0 with the emphasis being on scoring goals after a goalless draw. And they've had a little bit more of a tough time recently in Champions League and as well after they went through that 25 goal stretch and we were just scoring goals for fun. So I think they get back to their winning ways. Easy 3 points. And I am a little bit worried about the Saka knock, because if you're going to rest him in any match, this would be the time to do it. And with the Premier League in the balance, they kind of need him to be fully fit. So I don't know if they rush him back. Although Arteta loves playing this motherfucker as hard as he can every single match. So who knows? You probably just start him and hopefully you have one decent guy off the bench come in for him if he misses completely.
Agreed with that.
Not a sell though, right? You got to hold.
No, because you want to have him for, I think at this point, every move needs to be focused on the double game weeks to come. So I think we should just call that out at this moment in time. And because we're thinking about the double in game week 34, Brian, I just want to pause here and ask, you know, you have two Arsenal attackers and Gabriel in defense. Do you have any buyer's remorse? Do you have any regret that you're not on the more template kind of Saka and the two defenders? What say you about that?
You know, I'm hoping that it comes good in the next couple matches for the Arsenal attack. I think Odegaard had a couple good chances created today versus City. And quite frankly, I think the better chances in the match were from Arsenal and not the home team in that one. So, you know, I would probably prefer to have Ben White and Gabriel in defense and then Saka, but as a differential, Odegaard's a decent play. So if you have two Arsenal players right now and you're chasing points, then Odegaard is probably the way to go. He does have that double-digit ceiling, whereas you think most of the defenders are going to come in with 6 to 8 points usually. So, you know, all the picks are good there, though. And I think somebody that you highlighted before, going with somebody like Kai, is definitely somebody you could look at playing out of position, getting a lot of chances. He's very cheap, too. What is he, like 7.5? So if you want to go that route instead, he's probably going to be more likely to score a goal than Odegaard. So I don't hate that at all, especially if you're chasing, like I said.
Yeah, I'm a guy that is hot on Kai right now. I think he's in form and he's rounding into that Arsenal team. They look great when he is playing at the number nine. I think his size and his ability to arrive late, arrive early, have a little bit of shithousery in him, he's looking like a good get for that Arsenal team long term. Let's talk about the last match that we really need to bring into focus. The Chefs traveling to face the Liverpoolians, the opposite bookends of the table in this match, and it's going to be in front of that Anfield magic. How bad is it going to be for Chris Wilder's team, Brian? What's your prediction?
I would be moving to bring in a Liverpool player wherever you have a hole in your team. So whether it's going for Darwin, going for Diaz, going for Virgil van Dijk, I think those are all going to be great plays this week. I do not have a route to those guys right now in my current setup. I do have little Connor Bradley who, wow, he comes in with a 4-pointer, 2 bonus points for a
huge.
Yeah. I mean, that's a haul as far as I'm concerned, when you look at these shitty defenders. So he's a player that I also expect to play midweek. I'm hopeful because I definitely need to start him this week versus Chef View. So this one, I'm expecting 4-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to say 4-5-0 to the home team. Let's transition. Let's look at the best matches in real life. And these are kind of the matches that, especially in challenge, you might want to fade. But in FPL, I think you probably just play your attackers and kind of lean off the defense. Maybe put the handbrake on a little bit, or parking brake here in the States. Starting with Villa traveling to the Etihad to face Manchester City, 2-1 to the hosts. I've been unimpressed, to be brutal, with the Citizens in their last stretch run. They're not putting teams to the sword. Haaland does not look his best self. KDB definitely does not look his best self. And it's frustrating because I feel like KDB is blocking Foden from playing in the middle, which he's proven, like, every time he starts there, he's been elite. And he's also pushing Alvarez to the bench. And City seem to have things going good with all three of Haaland, Alvarez, and Foden on the pitch consistently. And the alchemy just seems to be a little out of whack at this moment in the season for City. So I still think they're going to win the league, but they're not in great form right now. So I'm going to wait to see it. And I think it's not crazy to think about maybe selling Haaland if you are on wildcard 35 plan and getting Salah in for him. So I just want to put that out into the universe.
Yeah, that's an interesting shout there. I think I was just super disappointed with KDB in this big game. He had one of his worst performances, especially when you're looking at his crosses. He was 3 of 16 on crosses today. That has got to be one of his worst ever performances in terms of getting the ball to the heads of his attackers. So disappointing performance from him. And if you still have Foden, I do like them for this match. I think it could be, again, similar to Arsenal, just a rebound match where they are much more attacking and just exploiting the holes in the defenses here. So you start your City guys with confidence. And the defense, it's interesting because Ake goes off in the 27th minute. You have John Stones with a bit of a knock as well. They're without Walker. So they do have some injuries here. But somebody like Gvardiol will be interesting, you know, looking down the line if he can nail down that spot and play in double game week 37. But I wouldn't be buying any of their defenders right now. So that's about the City wrap. But going without Haaland, you can definitely do it. He hasn't had many double digit hauls. I think he's only had one since like game week 14. And so he is not, and City as a whole are just not as explosive as we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, not a lot of 4 and 5 goal showings from them of late. And I think KDB might be, we might fully be entering the twilight of his career. I I didn't want to say it because he is one of my favorite players to watch, and he comes through the Chelsea system. We kind of used him like we did with a lot of young players, and he really came into his own at City. But he looks a step slow, and he looks like he's forcing a lot of stuff. That's what I saw in that Arsenal game. He was forcing. He was trying to be the hero, and instead he was mostly a zero.
All right. Any other matches here? I know Chelsea plays Man U.
Both stink.
I have no idea what's going to happen in that match.
Eyeballs. Save your sanity. Go on a walk. Take your better half or your partner out for brunch. Maybe go to the library. Go on an adventure. Do anything else rather than watch Manchester United traveling to Stamford Bridge. I definitely know I am not going to be watching that game. It will be the first Chelsea game I missed in a long time. They have been so bad and brutal to watch.
You shut up. You'll be tuning in.
I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch on my phone like a psycho. I know.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with community questions. We'll be right back.
Mailbag. Let's dive into some incredible contributions from the FPL community and specifically hashtag FPL USA, starting with our third host. FPL Blackwolf is asking how he best approaches game week 31. He wants to know, sell Bowen or Foden for one Mo Salah. And he includes a note that he's leaning towards keeping Bowen because he's killed it for him as a differential these last couple game weeks. Brian, I'll let you take it first.
I think both of us moved Foden out for this tough match versus Arsenal. So now would be the time if you're potentially going to move on from him. I think especially if you're going to wildcard in 35 and you can get your City assets back early. And that's actually another question that Corey, aka the Run CMC, asks, if it's time to fade those assets. So yeah, let's just talk about both of those situations. So for Black Wolf, hey, Bowen is getting you in the top 5K. I think you keep the faith and hold on to him. We expect goals in that West Ham Tottenham match. So I would move on from Foden if you're in that situation and just roll with Haaland as a shield pick from this point forward. But for wildcard 35, you can get three assets back from City for double game week 37. And so now would be the time if you want to go differential.
Totally agree. And I think it's all about positioning. Foden right now is playing more of a creative role, if not far out on the wing, as kind of supplying the pass that's going to go to one of Haaland or maybe Doku on the far side. Probably not Doku, he stinks. but Foden is more like supplying the end product, whereas Bowen is the one actually coming onto the ball, putting it in the back of the net, and he is one of the talisman for West Ham. And Foden, as great of a season as he's having, he's still not that for Manchester City. So I also think that the West Ham fixtures might just be better in the short term. I mean, that Tottenham match at home, Tottenham defense stink, whereas Villa, they stink too, but not totally to that same degree. So yeah, I think Dan has had his radar on point all season. And this choice is no less certain between the three hosts. I think we're aligned that sell Foden, keep Bowen as your major differential, and eventually Bowen will probably turn into an Arsenal or Liverpool midfielder in the coming game weeks.
Yeah, we look at this Tottenham match at home, then West Ham have Wolves away, Fulham at home in the next couple matches. So he's a good asset to hold on to. Again, we're in a season where you're going to sell a good asset for another good asset, and you could obviously get on the wrong side of variance, or you could see Foden come in with a brace. He's that type of talent. But I think in this situation, you stick with the guy that brought home the bacon for you, for sure.
Totally agreed. Let's go to FPL Barrister, aka Jeremy. He's asking, on a wild card, what's our pick, Darwin or Isak?
That's a little bit more difficult, to be honest, because this Chef U match is just such a cupcake fixture and one where I could see Darwin causing some chaos. I don't expect Salah to shoot 10 times again. I think he'll balance it out as being facilitator plus goal threat. And that also makes the life much more fun for Darwin. So if you're in that position, I think I'm going to be owning Isak probably on game week 35 wild card. They have some good fixtures now, and they're clearly going to have to attack with their defense so shaky. So I think they're you know, straight up both good picks, but you can only have you know, a few of them in your front line.
I think it depends, Barrister, whether you have your free hit chip remaining. So if you're going to free hit in game week 34, I would 1,000% go Isak. He scores in 60% of the games that he starts in. And now that we know Wilson is out injured and probably is out at least for the next short-term stretch run, Isak is going to be gobbling up chances and going to be finishing a lot of them. He's a much more clinical finisher than Darwin is. I don't think there's any disagreement on that front. Having said that, Darwin is the player with the higher upside and the better fixtures in the short term. So
I don't know if I agree with that, though, because Isak is on Pens, and that clearly those two Pens came out of nothing in this West Ham game, and he slots home two very classy penalties, whereas Darwin's never going to take another pen for Liverpool. We saw that earlier in the season, and it was atrocious. So I think their ceilings actually are much closer than you might expect.
That's fair. I think maybe what I'm alluding to is the number of chances that Darwin will get from open play. He actually had a shout at drawing a penalty, which I'm confident Salah would have put into the back of the net in this game against Brighton. And the Brighton match was a great zonal opportunity for Darwin. I think the same could be said about Sheffield because they have holes left, right, and center through their defense. So at least in the short term, I think if you have that free hit for 34 and you can get Darwin in maybe for their double in that match and then have Isak in your back pocket, saving a future transfer, I really like that move, but I'm on Darwin. I have a little bit of buyer's remorse there. So don't let me totally color your decision-making, Jeremy.
It's always a roller coaster with this guy. It's crazy. I think I'm actually in a position where I'm going to fade Darwin and go with Diaz instead, given that I moved for Muniz in my forward slot. So I have Muniz, Hollands, and Solanke at the moment.
But thanks, you fucker.
I could always change my mind and hit or move Haaland out for Darwin in 34. In addition to that, Barrister is also asking about budget defenders. He's asking about Munoz at Crystal Palace, Richards also at Palace. He's 3.9, or go for a Wolves player like Ryan Aitnori. And that guy missed a huge chance early in the match, Bucks. Wow, one-on-one with the keeper, finds himself and just boots it. Nowhere to be seen towards the net. That was a big moment.
He kicked it right into the guy's chest. Oh, my God. I threw my toys out of the pram with that one. I've been on Ronaldo, R9, Aitnori for a couple game weeks now. He's been one of my picks on wildcard. He came good. He looks incredibly attacking. Right now, he's playing out of position as a winger / midfielder. So he's the obvious choice. And I think it's made even more evident because Sam Johnstone of the number one keeper at Palace is out injured. He's going to have season-ending surgery on his shoulder or elbow. I'm not totally remembering, but it doesn't matter because they stink anyway.
Yeah, it's limb adjacent.
Yeah, you don't want any Palace players in your team. What are you, crazy, Barrister? you're smarter than this. Let's keep it moving. I think it's Aitnori or go even cheaper. Maybe you go like Branthwaite on Everton. Again, I don't love that by any means, but it's all about fitting a team together that you're excited about. And the defense should kind of be the last five picks on wildcard. I believe that really strongly. The way that clean sheets are so hard to come by, you kind of just throw darts at a wall, go for attacking defenders, and pray that you get one or two returns between now and the end of the season.
With that being said, Richards at 3.9, that's just dirt cheap. And he's played almost 90 minutes every single match, I believe, since game week 16. So he's a player that if you need funds, I would go that route, because 3.9 starting guy, he's going to play in the double. That makes a lot of sense to me there. And the Nottingham Forest match, it took a hell of a header from Chris Wood. Man, did you see that one? Do you see that on Goal Rush? He was basically facing away from the goal and did like a backwards header, and it just popped right over the goalkeeper's head. It was very classy, but also like pretty lucky. Otherwise, I think the Crystal Palace team would have been in for a 1-0 shutout victory. So
Now, Forrest would have scored some other, shithousery, wankery way. For certain, Palace doesn't get clean sheets. And, Richards, he's a US MNT player, so we like to glow him up, but he's mid at best. I wouldn't be excited to be starting him, no matter whether they have a single or a double fixture.
Yeah, that's fair. In the next 4 game weeks, Wolves have the second best fixtures with Burnley away, West Ham at home, NFO away, and then the double game week, which features Arsenal and Bournemouth at home. So Reinate Nouri is the guy there. We'll give Dan some praise there, and hopefully he'll actually have a Wolf in his team very soon.
Love that. All right, let's go to a question from my Cayman fan, aka Matt. He's asking, Darwin in for Watkins sounds so obvious, but what are your thoughts on going cheap? Maybe go for a budget option like Muniz or Cunha. I'm going to even add in Mateta into that kind of dirt cheap budget bracket for forwards. So what say you, Brian? You're experiencing the magic of Muniz, and I'm crying about the woes of being a Darwin Nunez owner. So let's talk some sense into Matt here.
I think if you have your free hit for 34 or your wild card, that definitely changes things because you'll be able to cycle through some of these forwards. If you're chipless, I think going with Mateta at 4.9 probably makes the most sense. He's coming off of some really solid performances here. Since game week 23, he's got 4 goals and 1 assist. And at that price, especially if you're not going to start him, you could make him your first bench player because they have very tough fixtures in 32 and 33 where they play City and Liverpool. So Bournemouth this week, you could start Mateta, but if he's somebody that's going to rotate with your eighth attacker spot, I do prefer that. And maybe you play him for both those home matches in the double game week 34, which is West Ham and Newcastle.
I just want to shout out about Bournemouth and the perception that that's an easier fixture. Right now, according to the advanced stats, they are the fourth best defense in the league. So they are not a pushover for
From the
attackers.
entire season data, because their last six, I feel like they've been just shipping goals.
Yeah, probably second half of the season, if I had to guess about those stats. They were disaster in the beginning, and they double game week 28 wasn't too great either. Let's just leave it at that. That being said, I did see that they are one of the top teams from a defensive XG and advanced stats perspective. So my pick is maybe a little out of left field. I love Muniz. I've been singing his praises. I don't know what I'm doing that I don't have him in my team. I was going all over social media about how he was essential in blank game week 29. He ends up missing out. I don't have him for his double digit haul. And then I was going on about getting him and Son and Salah in this game week for a -8. I ended up being a sheep and being too cautious. And you know what? He scores again. He has 8 goals in 8 games. So just get Muniz in. Worry about double game week 34 when that comes around, because he's probably going to score another 2 goals between now and then. So that's another 10 to 12 points in your FPL bank account, so to speak. And he's the most threatening. He's the talisman right now for Fulham. And I just want to have more of those kind of players in, especially at the bargain basement price you can get them.
4.6. And just to add a note on Cunha, he does not feature in the fixture versus Villa. He's still coming back from injury. So he is not an option until double game week 34, from my estimation. And even so, I could see his minutes being managed. So he's a wait and see. But if you want somebody that's going to be playing and in a cheap position, it's probably going to be Mateta or Muniz, as Bucks said. All right, last question we have is from Justin Alioto. He's asking, for those who are stuck in the middle of the table, what are some high risk, high reward differentials? Well, I think for starters, I would be looking at captaincy because that's where you can gain a lot of ground. So you look at the top three captaincy options each week and maybe go with somebody who is not going to be as highly owned and highly captained. So this week would have been Palmer. Ends up with 30 points. He's a standout captaincy of this week. So just really focus there. And then Bucks, you can highlight a few differentials that you think could bang in here.
Yeah, there are three players that in watching game week 30, it was hard to ignore. And based on their recent form, I think they're just worth shouting out. The first is Mohamed Kudus on West Ham. Again, we mentioned that Spurs defense looks lacking and he gets another double digit haul. He's very explosive kind of player. And he kind of jumps off the pitch and off the television screen when you're watching that game. His speed, his skills, his ball maneuverability. He's just an excellent player and an excellent get that West Ham brought in with some of that Rice money that they had from the summer window.
I can't believe that he ended up on West Ham of all teams. He's really had a solid season, 7 goals, 7 assists so far. And he's, like you said, he's got those double digit hauls in him. So that's an interesting shout. I'm also going to add here Eze. Eze is a player who I think he was the highest rated player from their match in the 1-1 draw. He sets up the Mateta assist. And for the double game week 34, he's definitely somebody who will be super fun to have in both of their home matches. So Eze could be also on pens, and we're just kind of waiting to see if Olise is going to make an appearance back in the squad. If he does, especially ahead of double game week 34, those two guys are really fun options at Palace and gives you a little bit more skin in the game in some of these mid-table teams.
Yeah, and then two more that I want to just throw in. Again, the way I'm thinking about transfers for game week 31 is also a play to look ahead to the near-term double game week in game week 34. So I love Kai Havertz. I've been shouting his praise out on the podcast. Beyond him as another differential, Ben White from Arsenal. I think both those guys would pick themselves if you had a free hit going into this game week against the Lutonians. And then from Liverpool, Luis Diaz just keeps grinding out great performance after great performance. And you can't get any better than the matchup at home against Sheffield United. So I think that's a great pick for game week 31 in the midweek. I also think he's a really interesting differential going into double game week 34. You know, Brian, you mentioned you don't have a route to get to Darwin or to Verge. And I think those are kind of the easy picks alongside of Mo Salah. And then is it going to be Tsimikas? Is it going to be Connor Bradley? Are we all going to be looking for ways back to Trent Alexander-Arnold? Who knows based on what we know today in time? But what I do know is in double game week 34, Luis Diaz is going to play a major part. So I like that move for the safety and to have an early differential on maybe a double or triple Liverpool attack.
Yeah, do we know when Jota might be a factor again? Because right now Diaz is playing 80 plus minutes every single match on the left wing. I know that Jota has been out for a while. He could be back eventually for double game week 34, but I think they ease him back. I don't think he's going to be starting every single match for them. Just want to put that caution out there. But right now, given the form and the performances, especially his pressing, I think that's something that Klopp loves is when his wingers really press hard and work for the team as well. So he's a good pick for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Jota might be more cautionary for Darwin owners like myself, based on the form Diaz is in. I think he might be undroppable the way that he's performing and working to the good of the system for the Liverpoolians. I hope that gives you a good answer, Justin. Maybe some defenders. Do you want to throw out one or two defenders? There aren't many.
No, let's skip defenders. You called out Ben
Brian,
White. Arsenal
Brian
defense.
Shaking his head. I'm hearing Arsenal it all defense. The way on this side of the coast. That's how hard he was shaking his head right now.
All right, we're going to take our final break and we're going to come back with our quick transfer plans and captaincy shouts and then get out of here.
Bada bing, bada boom. We're back with captaincy shouts and transfer plans. I reversed it because I think the captaincy pick is a lot easier this game week. So I'll start us out. Mo Salah is keeping the armband for me. Don't really need to think twice about it. I already set my bus team for game week 31. He's the comfortable pick. And for transfer plans, now I don't have a lot of funds in the bank. I will be with one free transfer. And since I just took a -4, I'm thinking about rolling the transfer. However, if I don't do that, I'll probably be looking to maybe move Foden into a player like Luis Diaz or Kai Havertz, one of the guys that I'm recommending that you consider as well, Justin. But I think maybe patience is the rule the day kind of move. I'm seeing a lot of managers and content creators go with -4 or -8s or even wildcarding. I don't know if taking another hit is going to be an optimal move for my team, but I am seriously thinking, I really like the idea of Luis Diaz in for Foden this match. So that's kind of the avenue that I would be leaning towards if I do not roll the transfer. Brian, you're judging me here.
Yeah, I think you should make the move. You get in either an Arsenal attacker versus Luton at home, or get another Liverpool attacker versus Sheffield United at home. We expect both these matches to be at least 3-0, whereas we know that Villa is at least a pretty solid team. They'll give up a few goals, but I don't think it could be a blowout like these other matchups could be in. Look, on any day, these could be 5-0s, man, and you want to have maximum fun, and you're setting yourself up for another double game week 34 player. I like the transfer. Don't roll it. Bring in another guy in a red jersey and out with the blues.
I don't like saying that, but yeah, probably Luis Diaz and Foden out will be my move come game week 31 deadline, and I will be captaining Salah. So let's pivot to you, Brian. What is the look? What is the plan? How many hits will you be taking for game week 31, my man?
I have 1.2 million in the bank and one free transfer. I do not have Palmer in my team, but I think I'm going to roll this week and then make two moves next week because I want Palmer for that Sheffield United match, which I believe is a home fixture for Chelsea, if I'm not mistaken. So I really want to have him back in my side. So to do that, I'm going to need to make two moves. I don't really, you know, he could deliver versus Manchester United, but Man U's been like relatively, I don't know how to predict that matchup versus Chelsea. So it could be a non-match. It could be a 3-3, but I think it's not worth a -4 for me this week. And I can just start the inform Muniz at NFO. So that's my plan. Rolling, pretty boring, but it is nice to roll your transfer when it's a short week. I don't have to consume tons of content. I don't have to agonize over transfers. It's like deadlines in 48 hours. Perfect. I'll have two transfers as soon as Tuesday when the deadline passes, and then I'll be setting up for game week 32 and getting Palmer into my side for that one. So that's the plan. And I'll probably, like, my early thoughts are I'm a downgrade Cash. I have Matty Cash on my side. He's like 4.5 million. I'll probably free up some funds and get Branthwaite or get Chris Richards into my side as a stopgap defender for potential start in double game week 34. So I think that's it, Bucks. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, great podcast. Listen in the short term. We'll have this podcast up Monday morning, Monday, April Fools, April 1st here in the States. Brian, thank you for a great pod. Dan, sending you wishes of green arrows and good vibes for a full recovery. And to all of our loyal listeners, thank you for making this so fun, for engaging with us idiots here on the hashtag FPLUSA audio home at FPLUSA Press Play Podcast. We love doing this. We love FPL. And you know what we love even more? Some good old green arrows. Let's get them in game week 31.
That's right. That's right. And if you're interested in joining our free Press Play Pod Challenge League, you can do that. The information for that league is up on our socials, or you can use the code EX1PQF. Again, it's on our socials. Join us for some banter there, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Brian, I thought you were doing the EA Sports voice.
EA Sports. It's in the game.